Okay.
That's a good organization character.
We're learning Tanya. So, well, that's therapy for Rebbes or introduction for Rebbes?
I don't know.
The Rebbes need the therapy or are they giving the therapy?
I wonder if Rebbes need therapy. Well, the Baal Tanya was burnt out. I mean, not burnt out, Chas v'Shalom. The Baal Tanya basically was like, guys,
here's my safer.
I'm going to give you a safer and, you know, go figure it out yourself.
I don't know if it was that hands off, but on a certain level, it was, in a way, it's the biggest matano because it empowered all the chassidim for all the generations. Right, whereas if he would have just had yechidus with all this chassidim and never printed anything, Hashem Shemena would be like, would be lost.
Also, the nature of the sefer was so unique. No one ever...
It's true. When you're learning chassidish svarim, there's nothing like the Tanya.
This is like...
And then you learn his other svarim, Torah Or and the Kuti Torah and all the Maimarim and all the Rebbes. They're all unique. Chabad is completely unique. Well, you see how they're in their whole in their action nowadays. They're unique. There's nobody like Chabad.
Yeah, we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, the Miyuchad. So
definitely Miyuchad for sure.
Yeah. So we've been learning about the Beinoni. I mean, this whole concept of the Beinoni. I don't think without the Baal Tanya we would have really had such a focus because it was always the more traditional mode of, you know, the Rambam of like a tzaddik is someone who does mitzvahs and a rasha is someone who does averus. And the whole thing is you're in this in-between stage of balancing the good and the bad. That means the Beinoni does do averus. The Chiddush was yesterday is that the Beinoni is as if. That was the key word. Mm-hmm. You pointed it out. There was a good dip. Obviously, your Gemara years paid off. All the learning, all those years of learning for that one dip. As if. Meaning that it's as if he never did averus, mm-hmm. the Beinoni. So obviously he did do an Avera, like it's no such thing. We learned from Chazal, there's only five people or something who never did an Avera.
Mm-hmm.
Binyamin, Yishai, Sarah Bat Asher, I don't know, I don't remember if that's correct. I remember who they all were. I remember all the names, yeah? Yotam, who was, you know, some, you know, there was Bnei Aliyah, Miyotain, there were very few people who never did an Avera in history.
Anovi,
I don't know, I think he was rebuked by Hashem a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, because of the way he gave rebuke to himself is too much. It wasn't Malamed Tzchus enough. Hashem still loves his children, doesn't want us to like butcher them spiritually. So he had to come back. That was part of the whole gezeira that he has to come back every generation, every bris, to service Am Yisrael because he was too harsh on us. But anyway, the point it being with the Beinoni, it's as if. It's as if he never did an Avera, but really he did. And he did Tshuva. So he got, so there is that fluctuation. There is that room of going up and down between the Rasha, Sheino Goma, back to the Beinoni. I don't think a Rasha Goma can just suddenly become a Beinoni. I think there's steps and levels.
Right.
And remember, the woman defines a Rasha Sheino Goma means that he gave into his Yetzer and actually did something.
Right.
Good wasn't successful to overcome the bad on whatever level that is. So once that manifests, then it takes him into level Rosh Hashanah Gomor, but then he can do tshuva and it brings it back into the Beinoni because it's as if he never did a sin. Because when you do tshuva, you mile all your various to mitzvahs as if you never did. You know, all the things you did before were either erased or elevated. That's what we learned yesterday.
Yeah.
We had the Baal Shem Rebbe's input. We saw the Diak from Chaim Miller. So we're going, let's just read over again the Beinoni. It's not too many lines, just
right,
a chazan. Beinohu sha'olam, ein ra, gova kokach, the kovish et se'ir katana, zabish beguf, la hatio, dayenu sh'shloish levushay nefesh, behemoth, shehem, machshava diba masa. Yeah, so you got that, the intermediate man, as it calls it, or the Beinoni, or you call it the in-betweeners. There's a few different ways of explaining it. Yeah, which one do you like?
I like in-betweeners, it's a good name for a band.
Yeah. Oh, Hashem,
although the intermediate man is also, it's like a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song, but it's in-betweeners is a good name for a band. So
right,
and the name, Chaim Miller is probably more up to date in terms of this translation, I think, was old. When was it printed? 1984 was the copyright. Yeah.
So much has happened since then.
Yeah, a lot's happened.
We landed a man on the
literally
moon.
40 years.
Yeah.
No, we had a man on the moon then, but 1984.
Supposedly.
All right, don't get into that. That's when our generation, everything lost reality. I'm getting AI. I'll play it to you. I'm getting AI messages sent to me. Joe Rogan telling me he loves me.
Nice. Yeah. Well, how do you do it?
I didn't do it. My son thought it was my non-Jewish birthday yesterday, which is somewhat relevant. And he sent it, because I remember the first time I put tefillin on was about Parshat Yaakov. So on my 18th, I think it was my 19th birthday, it was the first time I put tefillin on the week of my birthday.
Ah.
So it's like, it wasn't just Mistam, the timing of it. Where is it? I don't know where I put it. Oh, here.
I love Ellie Goldsmith.
That sounds like...
I love Eli Goldsmith. I love Ellie Goldsmith.
My son's very, like, technically advanced. The third boy, the one who goes and works and, and learns in school. He's very, like...
Which one? The super religious one?
That's the second one.
So who's the third one? The
third one's the tall one who came to the mill, sat next to me.
Ah, him, yeah.
Traveled to Oman. Went to Tiberias and Shabbos.
Right,
works here as a manager of a store.
You are?
Yeah, he works in a store. So he's very technically, like, he knows how to use technology very high level. Like, it's just natural. Some of my kids have been either, it's harder for them. He's highly intelligent, taught himself English, even knows some Arabic and Russian. He's like one of these, like, a little bit illy kind of people. Let me just wish him a good day at school, because it's always a question whether he even goes.
Why?
every week he usually misses one morning, because his schedule is nuts. He's working all day after school till late at night.
Wow, how old is he?
And then he gets the bus back, and he has the scooters which helps him get around. He's only 16. He paid for a trip to Oman himself, he paid for Tabu. Wow. Anyways, he figured out how to use AI to get Joe Rogan to tell me he loves me. So this is the kind of world we're in. Anyway, we have to be real with the generation, what we're dealing with. So basically things have gone out of control. Like, I just saw Trump, Lipa Schmalzer posted that Trump's been nominated Lipa to be his vice president. Some AI video of Trump's nominating Lipa Schmalzer. This is what's going to be everywhere now. You're right. Going to be looking, you don't even know what you're looking at anymore. Yeah. That is to say, the free garments of the animal soul, namely thought, speech, and act, originate in Kleber, do not prevail within him over the divine soul, the extent of clothing themselves in the body, in the brain, in the mouth, in the other 2 or 4 or 8 parts. Therefore, I call them sin and defile himself, God forbid. Rabbi Sacks once said that we're going to be the last people of the books. We're going to be like the only people in reality by the end of it. Because the books, the Svarim, is reality. It's written by Tzaddikim, it's Torah, it's Masorah, it's Emes, Amiti, it's Kodesh Kedoshim. And everything else around us, the whole of technology world is going to become like Demyonis.
It's also something we believe in. I think that most of this world has no longer believed in anything. Meaning most of this world questions everything. Nothing's real anymore. Everything's fake.
Questioning is not a problem. Like, why Jacobson says that's one of the milers of our generation. They're not just accepting the old system. They're questioning everything. But the goal has to be to get to improving the system, not destroying it.
Right, meaning questions that with the point of disproving it, not questions it from the point of understanding it deeper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a very big...
Then it's just
like when your kid, when you say no to your kid, and your kid says why. It's like, well, do you want to know why because you really want to understand it, or you're just trying to drive me crazy?
Like, finding out what the reason behind the question is.
What's the real reason behind the question?
That's the famous Torah from the Bris Karav, or the Moshe Bosa brings down. With the Seder night, we have the concept that you have Dalet Kashis. You have Kashis. Right. So with Levi Yitzchak B'Ditchev, it says, you blab with the Kasha. It's okay to live, to remain with questions. Having questions is fine.
Uh-huh.
The key is that the questions don't become terutzim, don't become like Lipa Schmalz's song.
Right.
When people ask him to come to live in Eretz Yisrael, he says terutzim. He has a whole song. Remember that one? But he did it with Matt Dub. Yeah. You know, he gets a clever song, like, because the guy just keeps saying, I have terutzim for everything. Well, I'm not going to come to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to this, not going to that. So there's always terutzim, but they're not really asking the real kasha of what does Hashem want. That's the whole real thing. When you're learning Torah, it should train you, your mind and your heart, to get to a point. Like, Lukut Baron is Rabbi Nachman is all about getting to Emes Amito.
Right.
And with Chabad, we're clarifying how the soul works, so that then you can come to the Rav. Then you can come to the Tzaddik with the real question. You understand, learning Torah, one of the main goals is just to get the right question.
Right.
Think about Tosis, all the different ways of asking questions, all the kashas. What is it for? To refine your soul and your heart and your mind, so that you can actually go and ask the Rav, the Magid Shir, the Shalomeshiv real questions.
Right.
That actually really matter and have nafkaminas and are in tune to the pshat that Hashem wants us to have. Instead of just going round and round with all kinds of terutzim, which is disguised as questions. This is the whole thing. So when we have a clear picture of how the human psychological, spiritual makeup works, that we have this Nefesh Bahamas inside of us. But if we're on the level of a Beinoni, we're not allowing it to prevail. Not once, in an active way. Okay. It's not expressing itself in Machshava Dibur Ma'aseh.
Uh-huh.
Only, let's read ahead. Rak Shalash Labushe Nefesh Alekis Heim Levadam as Boshim Bukuf Shehem Machshava Dibur Ma'aseh Shetarag Mitzvah Zatorah. Yeah, they're implemented in being what? They're only implemented how? Through thought, speech, and action in right. The 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. That's how they come alive. Now remember, you built physically 248 limbs, 248 limbs, mitzvahs aseh, yeah. 265 sinews, mitzvahs lo taseh, the positive mitzvahs, the negative mitzvahs. That is your body. That is who you are physically. Spiritually, it's the essence of who we are. We have Avos Hashem is Mrs. Asay, Yiras Hashem is Mrs. Lord Tasay, the Amunah Hashem not going after Avodah Zorah, the two main of the Esed Dibros is the Shorish of the Mrs. Asay, Mrs. Lord Tasay. This is the Panimus of our Mitzvah. The Baal HaTanya says this later on. But the point is that when we get that clear, that's how our speech, our thought, and our actions manifest is through these through the Torah. We bring everything into Torah, bring everything into mitzvahs. That's our guidebook of how to function. And that keeps us away from falling into Gimel Kubis Timaeus and doing Averis.
Right.
And that's where the Beinoni is. He's constantly in that state. He's never committed. Remember, this was yesterday's learning. Lo ava averim mayamav, lo av yavo lo alam. Lo nikra lav shem masha, filu sha'achas, rega achas koyimav. I'm just going on and on. So the point is, before we go flying off onto that, that he's the previous statement of he never committed an avera, he never did a sin. That was, we touched that already, that it's as if he never did. Because that the according to the Tanya, just if we read it straight, if you and me would say it with only the Tanya, no Rebbe Perush, no modern day, up to date Perush, and we just read the Baal HaTanya, we would think that's the Beinoni. Never did an
avera. Right.
So that's how we'd learn it. But thank God there's a Masorah in Chabad. And
notes on Tanya's Rebbe, right? Is the Rebbe?
Notes on Tanya was the notes on the Rebbe, it's Perish on lessons in Tanya.
Oh, right.
Like it's the Perish on the Rebbe's notes. So it's coming from the Rebbe, it's coming from Masorah of Chabad. So we can be Samech on it, we can Samech on the Rebbe that the real understanding of that phrase, he never did a sin his whole life, is if he never did. So therefore he's a Baal HaTshuva in that respect. And he went from Rosh Hashanah Gomer to Beinoni through doing tshuva, and now the fact he's in that state means he never really did the avera. Okay, so that's what we're on. Then we read on, how the essence of being of the divine soul, which are 10 faculties, do not constantly hold undisputed sovereignty as well with the small city. Small city is the marshal of us, the human body.
Right.
We have him in us two hearts, right side and left side, and we have a moyach, a brain. The left side it houses the Yetzirah, the Nefesh Bahamas, and the Yetzirah is in the right side of the heart and in the Moach, and that is where the Nefesh Elokis is manifest, the godly soul. And the Ir Katana is this concept of a war going on. And within this small town, a small city, there's a war going on between these different aspects. Now, the Yetzirah, the Nefesh Elokis, bottom line won't allow the Nefesh Bahamas to ever overpower it to a point where it affects the Gimel Levusha of Dibur Ma'aseh and Machshava. It won't ever affect the action, speech, and thought, but it will affect what's going on inside, the inner struggle. There is an aspect of it, how it manifests, I don't really understand it, honestly. What is it? If you don't have thought, speech, and action, what do you have? What is it? Some sort of subconscious.
Well, it says here, at an emotional level, the Beinoni is still torn between love of God and the desire for self-gratification.
Okay.
Though he has achieved enough through self-mastery not to allow these feelings to surface behaviorally in any way. Yeah. I guess there's like a very, very thin line what goes from behavior to action. Because here we're talking about machshava as an action. So, right, machshava is an action here. So, therefore, it's like somewhere even a step before the machshava. It's like...
Do you hear what I'm trying to say? Maybe it's a subconscious.
Yeah, it could be like even a subconscious.
A superconscious or the inner thoughts that right. people have that not to do with the more external clothing of machshava's thoughts. Because
right.
human beings are much more complicated than just three levushim. We have it's not just we're not just thought, speech, and action. We have subconscious. We have the whole psychological world works off the fact that there's whole elements of the brain and heart that they're still working on figuring out where that comes from. These thoughts, these inclinations, these drives, these intuitions, these
right.
and then forget about getting into spiritual elements of the human soul. So they have no, once again, then once you start going there, without Svarim Kadoshim, without Torah, you don't really have much Musak, even till now. There is some sort of overlap a little bit nowadays, thank God, because you know people have become more spiritual in the science world. They're starting to be open enough to explore those elements a bit more, and therefore there's been some sort of overlap. But still, we're still very unclear, like, of majority of what the brain does and how to completely understand the heart. And all kinds of different scenarios that come up with human existence, we're still not totally clear. Like there's a large element we're unclear. So it's okay. As I said, we can live with clashes. We can live with questions of how this works, how that works, why we think this, why we do that. It's okay to live with all the complexity of the human heart and the complexity of the human brain. You can live with it. Our goal, if you follow over Weisha Weinberger's teachings or any of the Siddiqim that you're probably more connected with, is Peshittus and Tamimus, because he's a complex person, in my opinion.
Right.
He's a Holocaust survivor child. He's got very complex psychological inclinations,
yeah.
the way he talks about things, very deep. And, you know, I would not say he's a simple person, in the least. But his goal is simplicity.
Yeah.
Tamimus. That's his goal, that's his vision, that's his Rotzen, to get to a place of simplicity where he does Rotzen Hashem in a simple, pure
yeah.
way, which is very beautiful. Someone who has such a complex experience in life would want to get towards such simplicity.
He's like a real, real Bala Buddha.
Yeah, so that's a lot of inner work. That means he's undoing
he's
naturally what he is, which is probably a complex person, to head
yeah.
towards a very divine path of Tamimus, of simplicity. So that he's going against...
But that's the difference between him and... You can't compare tzaddikim, but...
Yeah, I don't really understand really where he's at all. I'm just
like
guessing.
Like that someone like
yeah.
him, like the tzaddik that he is, versus
yeah.
the tzaddik
it's
of Eretz Yisrael.
Words, yeah.
But like a tzaddik like in Eretz Yisrael lives in, yeah. you know, Yerushalayim and like hasn't left the Dalet Amos of Yerushalayim his whole
yeah.
life. Two totally different...
The only thing is that when you say those kind of stories, because I grew up near Mishraim, like my kids grew up in Mishraim
yeah.
the last 26, 7 years, and I would say after my kids, much more giving me an insight to this, a lot of these people come from homes of all kinds of complex family dynamics.
Right.
That the Haredi world can cover up with religiousness, you know, they have their formalities of how they run their life.
Right.
But underneath, there's a whole like story of stuff going
for
on.
For sure.
And these like crazy documentaries and movies are always usually the dark side of it. You know, like all these horrible Netflix things that came out in the last few years.
Right.
They always focus in on the Eitz Hara, and there's no like light over there. But really, in Mishnah, there's tremendous light. There's Siddiqim, there's a Mitzvah
right,
Nefesh.
Sure.
But the documentaries miss all that. They just go straight into the human problem side.
Right. Well, no, what I was saying is that, like, I imagine that the experience of those tzaddikim
yeah.
versus the experience of someone like Reb Weinberger is that, like, Reb Weinberger is, like, in the grind. Right? He's, like, with all the people, like just with him. Like, he understands everyone's struggle. Like, he totally is with you in there. You know, some of the tzaddikim here, like when I, there's, like, certain tzaddikim that tell you, like, oh, you want to... And they're probably right, right? They said,
yeah.
you want to, whatever, you know, put away your, you know, get rid of your iPhone, get a dumb phone. It's like, they're probably right.
But I have friends who managed to manage their business without a phone.
Yeah, for sure. I think about it. It's just...
They've got Panasa.
I
they're trying to get those gifts to the Haredi, from the Haredi family here.
Right.
He's got, when he sends you an email, it says every time underneath. His signature is, I do not have a smartphone.
Right, wow.
Because he's like, that's good.
I had a dumb phone for about a year. I got rid of my iPhone like, maybe like 7 years ago. 7, 8 years ago, I decided I was going to get rid of my iPhone.
I bet your wife is like, enough for it. I need to contact you on WhatsApp.
It was like, this was 8 years ago when the world was even totally different than it is today. But it was hard. It was very hard. Like, I remember whenever I'd go, like, there were times where I would drive to Manhattan and I would be sitting in traffic hours because I didn't have Waze. You know, and I'd be like, and then it was like, if I just had Waze, I'd be fine.
So the front model did come up with solutions that you can have, like, certain filters, certain apps that help you function, but it means you don't have to be, like, controlled by it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's almost, Rogan says it's like a lost battle now.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
Like, he has all kinds of Godarim himself, because he's, like, overly famous and people, everyone wants to access him. So he has all kinds of boundaries himself, like, on his level. But the Nukuri is that we, Bokshan, so he has that level as a non-Jew, like, to understand its dangers. But at the same time, his vote is, like, you know, why fight reality? Like, figure out how to use it.
Right. It's the same Indian when I was a kid in yeshivas. Like when I was a kid in yeshivas, the idea that he used to send home these, like I went to different yeshivas, but at some point some of them were like more right wing than others, and so some of them would send home, like some of them would say, do you have a TV in your house? No.
Yeah.
Or it's like the no TV, you know, for a month or stuff like that. And it was like,
and that's old school TV already.
That was old school, but it was also,
because now with your phone you have way more than,
like,
TV.
Even when I was already like in the 7th and 8th grade, there would be like, no Super Bowl, no this. And I remember being like, even as a kid, I remember being like, guys, like, why are you focusing on the Super Bowl? Why are you focusing on, like,
they tried to put me in heroin once, like, at the bottom, you know?
This is like a,
I was almost put in heroin once.
Why?
Because I made a concert that for all the yeshivas. It was called Unity of Bands. You can Google it. It's online, right? Eli Goldman, Unity Bands. And I had like 10 yeshivas involved. And all the yeshivas came and all the seminaries came. They used to only make them yeshiva boys, but I made it both. And I put a mechitza and I had people manage the mechitza. All
right.
And those people weren't even allowed to come because they were told to stay away from the event. I was going to pay them to do mashgiach, the mechitza, to make sure it's kept. There shouldn't be intermingling, like, so I can honor the yeshivas. But they were like, no, you just have to get rid of the Ezra's notion. But I didn't agree with that. I was like, no, let them come. Like, you have Shira David, you have a great mechitza, it works. Yeah?
Right.
Why be frumer than need to be? These are modern people. They're not, you're treating them like they're Mirsharim. They're not. Yeah?
Right.
Like, so I got, because I didn't come and, you know, go kiss, you know, everybody's whatever. And I just went ahead with the event anyway. So they couldn't put me in home because I had a Mizrahi guy called John T's webinar, running it. And I didn't turn up on the night. My own event. That was my way of getting out of the home. So I didn't turn up. I said, this is a Mizrahi guy, go talk to him. Right. He doesn't agree with your hashi. He's not under your authority. He's not in your yeshiva world. Yeah? So they couldn't do nothing to him. And I, after, but it ruined my like progress in that whole world because I just had too much snagdus for the first few years. Yeah, and it ruined. I was bringing what I did. You know how much kids I prevented from doing crazy stuff that year by having this battle of the bands? It meant the whole year they were preparing for this concert instead of being on the streets and doing who knows what.
I didn't know it was a whole.
Yeah, I had loads of bands. One kid told me once, girls called him up, said, come out, let's meet up. And who knows what they would have done together. He said, he went into the drum room and drummed on the drum set that I got donated.
Wow, that's
great. And saved him from who knows what. And I've got like hundreds of stories I don't know about, yeah? But kids, because they were busy with the music room in the yeshivas and practicing and had something to be excited about other than just learning, so I was preventing a lot of yerida.
That's pretty amazing.
That's how I've felt very L'Shem Shemaim about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was up against, I tried to get the Hamshon over and the Belzer Rebbe involved to get on my side, so I had some giant Das Torah. But it was really complicated to get hold of them to back it. They'd rather me just do it as a yochid and get involved with the seaboard.
Right.
It's too hard when you start doing things publicly, it gets too political.
Right, that happened with Lika Schmelz,
right? Yeah, I remember watching them all coming to Gedolim. I remember MBD, Mordechai Ben David, coming to Morgenstern. I was there that day, and I used to hang out there a little bit. So he came by Morgenstern, and he came in, and there was a massive meeting going on because it was about his concert in Yerushalayim. that it was mixed seating, or even when Mechitza wasn't good enough, so he ended up cancelling his involvement, and Adam Fried, I think, went ahead, something like that, if that was correct.
Yeah.
But that, Adam Fried was more, he had to be pulled out of that stuff, because he speaks to Sadiq and Morgenstern, they very strong, you know?
Right, where Lieber Schmutzer got burnt with that.
Yeah, I mean, he came out of it okay now. He's okay now. He managed to figure it out, but you know, our generation's all very different now. Back then, a lot of those Roshivas who were against me are no longer around. They passed away. So then, if I went in now and did a bigger shtadlis, I don't think I'd get the same as Nagdis.
Also, live in Shirat David area, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, here there's no issue. But they were fighting out Rav Simai and trying to get him against me. It was like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really crazy. I mean, I was most nefesh. I put so much time and money and resources, about thousands and thousands shekels into this event and resources to have a studio and all kinds of stuff, and I had to just like hide, go into hiding. And I said, I'm doing this for your bochur. I don't understand why you should be cheering me. Why you had lost money because of Madoff? So I was now filling the space in, and they couldn't open themselves to just giving another guy an opportunity to help their own bochur,
because
I wasn't from the system, you know.
Wow, it's wild.
Yeah, but I still stayed Yiddish from Shomer Torah mitzvahs and.
Yeah.
And connected to all the Sadiqim. It didn't damage any of my relationships, as far as I know. It just meant, it showed that these people are old school. Yeah.
Right.
We're not being real with the neshamas of the generation. And there probably was enough gemilas.
Gevaldik, yeah. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, so I've got lots of stories like that, but I'd rather not spend all the time talking about every story of mine, because it's annoying. The point is that when you're at that moment of small city, when you're not involved with the Kalau and the Seaborn, you're just serving Hashem.
Right.
So it's during recital of the Shema and the Mida, which is the time when the supernal intellect is in a sublime state. So the beautiful thing is when you daven, real davening, not chitzonius davening, when you're really davening, panemius of davening, you arouse your supernal intellect. That's what it says here. Yeah, your nefesh elokis, all the spheres elyonim, everything gets lit up. Because at the time of Kriya Shema Tefillah, he shas mochin the gadlus. Yeah, another better translation would be expanded consciousness.
Mochin the gadlus.
Yeah,
we call it mochin the kaknus.
Yeah, so when you get mochin the gadlus, you're in a state of expanded consciousness. Your nefesh alikus and your mind and your heart is now completely dominant. It's completely run and shot. It's moch shah alalev.
Me and my friends call mochin the kaknus.
Yeah, the mo. When
you're stinking.
Because
that's
funny.
In Indian, it's called
stinking
thinking.
That's funny.
So we call
Moshe the Kaken. So the Mayach Ishala Olalev, your brain, Eliyahu Ben Shlomo's brain, is now Sholet on your mind and your heart. We've been learning as well, I think. Lamala Gam Lamata, He Shas the Kusha Lako Adam. It's a holy time at that moment. Yeah, what's happening? And likewise, this is appropriate time for every man when he binds his Chabad to what? To Hashem.
Right.
The Chacham Binadash, your Seichel gets Dabik to Hashem, and you can meditate. Remember, this is the Chabad Shita. You're now meditating deeply on Hashem. And Chazidus would be more your heart, if it's Slava, it's Laev, it's a different, more, it's Balalas, and all these Madregas that talks about in. You know, in the Machshavas Avreichim and all their Svarim, the Lerma, the Eish Kodesh, the Pinsatzah, those kind of, it's more panemius emotions that awaken. The Derech Chabad is Hocham Bin Adas. It's Davik to Hashem, and now you're busy with His Bodiness and the Godless Hashem, and the greatness of the Ein Sof.
Right here, it says here, supernal mind is broad and flowing. Hocham the Godless will find it easier to take the principles that you believe into your heart.
Yeah.
Right when you're doing it, it goes functional, but you will find harder to do that. When the temple stood, right, the temple mount, temple, the temple of temples, the supernal mind, Mochin Gadlus, was in a state of permanent expansiveness.
Wow.
Currently, however, it fluctuates during the day. During the morning, a time of vigoration and renewal, it flows into a state of expansiveness. In the afternoon, it wanes, becoming constricted in the evening. I experienced that.
Yeah, we do. We experience this every
day.
Good
morning, I'm flying in the spheres and saying to myself, Abba!
And it's going to be a good day. And then what happens?
And by the end of the day,
by about 11 o'clock, the HR starts kicking you in the tuchus.
By 4 o'clock.
But you're still strong enough to deal with it.
Right,
by 1 o'clock, you're still kicking it back. But you start to get notice that you've been on, like I was watching a Foreman and Ali fight the other day.
Yeah.
So you're pummeling away on the, with Ali on the ropes. Yeah.
Right.
But the problem is, after so much doing that, you get tired.
Yeah.
So by the end of the day, what happens? Suddenly the HR in this moshul, it's Muhammad Ali, right, comes and then knocks you out.
Right.
Because you tired yourself out.
His name is Muhammad, so.
Yeah. Tired yourself out. So yeah. you didn't pace yourself. Because you're going to have this, the concept is you're having an awakening. Ruchnius.
Okay.
Gewaldig. Yeah. It's our therapy office.
You heard me. Yeah, come sit. We have a therapist
office. What was that? Who grabbed your ghost?
Oh, yeah.
Usually we're in the classroom earlier, but yeah, we've got a new time now, so we can't be in the classroom.
This is good, yeah. We're going to outfit it with some serious stuff in here.
You can have some candles and aromas.
Yeah.
And have pictures of the Rebbe, Shlita.
Oh, 46. We scared everyone there.
We have pictures of the Rebbe Shlita.
Yeah, the Rebbe, we gotta hang out.
Shlita. Did you notice?
Shlita there.
The Rebbe Shlita. Who's the Rebbe Shlita? Moshe Weinberger or it's the Babichur Rebbe?
Huh?
Babichur
Rebbe Shlita, Rebbe. Half of my house, the Rebbe. I'm trying to get a picture of Rebbe Weinberger. I have to get the perfect one that captures his, like, just this warmth and Tamimus stick. It's very hard. I have to follow up my friends about it. We want Mashiach now.
Yeah, we want Mashiach now. So the idea that you're in this state of greatness, of Mokin de Gadlis. You've awakened your Chokhmah Bina Das.
My 3-year-old sings this song all day now. I don't know where he learned it. He says in Ghan.
Oh, that's
good. But all day he just sings. We want
this Mashiach. And I'm
like,
I sing it also.
One day he starts singing it to me, yeah, and I'm like, whoa.
We used to sing
it like
every
a day
night.
After Shlomo's like, yeah, cheer, and I was like, wow.
Telling you, internalize your kids are telling you the
I
truth.
I struggle with the whole inyanim, yeah, of like, the messianic mindset, you know, is, yeah, like a very new Indian for me.
It was totally Chabad, like in terms of the last 60, 70 years.
But it's a very...
Everyone's talking about it now, all the different paths, but Chabad was the leader in bringing it to consciousness.
But it's a certain shalab of Mashiachness that is not... It's not... I don't know if... It doesn't feel like this is like mainstream Chabad, Mashiach mindset. It's like a...
No, if you really talk to a Chabadnik, like, they all even the most non-Mashikas Chabadnik, like a very academic, like Simon Jacobson or something like that, he holds the Rebbe was the closest thing we've ever had to Mashiach.
For sure,
And the Mashiach Akshav is a whole Torah. They learn it as a Torah. It's Torah.
I should really.
Mashiach now is a Torah. It's not an external thing.
No, but it's more of like the Mashiach in this like.
I spoke to a Rabbi once publicly. We had a. He let me ask a few questions in his shiur, right, in Monsey. And I said, the Rebbe minds, I'm going to ask a few controversial questions. Right. Mashiach now. He said, Mashiach now. He started going off on it. Toira.
Right. Shimon Jacobson said, yeah, he's like, again, he was, you know, it was a tight rope, but I think it's even one of the back of his books. He says, he's like, people ask me, was the Rebbe Mashiach? Is the Rebbe Mashiach? He's like, when the Rebbe was alive, if you look at it, like,
closest thing.
It was the closest thing we ever had to Mashiach. Like, definitely. I believe he was Mashiach.
At that time, yeah.
He's like, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. He's like, now he's not alive, his neshama's not around. He's like, then you start getting into very complicated questions. And,
sure.
You know, canon or if you're not. He's like, his answer was like, if that's what you're focusing on.
Yeah, it's missing the point.
You're missing the whole point.
He didn't want anyone to focus on him. He hated that. If you really are a chassid of the Rebbe, he hated the focus on him.
Right.
He wanted it to be focused on the mission.
Right, exactly.
That's what we learned yesterday. The mission of Mesiris Nefesh.
My concern Mesiris is more Nefesh. Mashiach within this like Medina. Like there's like a shalom of like, you know, it's a different. I don't know if like all the Chabad people, like, but again, I think Chabad.
Remember, you don't judge the Torah by the Jews,
right,
ever. Even the Torah of Chabad by the Chabadniks, because the Torah of Chabad is the ideal. And the Chabadniks are Ben Adam Basov. They're human beings with Nisyonis and Yetzirahs and political reasons that they want to do this and that. Maybe if they really listen to the Rebbe, there won't be any of those things. There'll be a Tzaddikim and it'll be changing the world, which a lot of them are doing. But there's still going to be a Chevro who's going to make a noise, who have their agendas or have their mistakes. They misunderstood what the Rebbe meant.
Right.
And they think he really wanted him to be the focus, but he did not. I've seen it in Torah, in writings. The Rebbe again and again told them off for making him the focus.
Right.
You know, my Rebbe said the best thing. You want Mashiach to come, get out of the way.
Get out of the way, yeah.
Get the Rebbe out of the way. Get everyone out of the way. Oni should just be Hashem's Gilui.
That's the thing. That's Bashir. We need to get, let go and let God.
Yeah.
We need to get out of the way. And
Hashem
let
runs everything great. That's why I keep trying to explain to my Reverson and people around me, like, just please let go. Like, because we can't control things. Yeah, like right now, I'm under so much pressure to change this and change that. I keep telling them, I don't think I'm going to be able to change it. And they're like, oh, it's because you don't want to. If you really wanted to, you'd do it. I'm like, no, no, no. I really want to. I just really want to wait for Hashem's timing. That's, I'm much more into Hashem's journey and his timing for things than my timing. My timing, I might be successful if I force it, but it's going to come in nafkaminas.
Right.
You understand? Like when, I mean, so every time they try to force Mashiach or force entering Eretz Yisrael, like we see in the whole story of the after the Sipur of the Meraglim, there was the whole, what's they called? The Mapilim. And they forced themselves to go in Eretz Yisrael. It was a massacre.
Right.
Everything went wrong. We can't force Hashem.
Am Yisrael, have no fear, Mashiach will be here this year.
We force Hashem's agenda, it's just going to backfire. We have to do it in Hashem's time frame.
You got
to
do it only in a
So you see, in the day, even in the day, this is the point here. The day, you're going to have ups and downs. We mentioned this word before, fluctuation. I feel very comfortable with this fluctuating concept. Now remember, it doesn't mean you're sinning. It's fluctuating on this inner sensitive world of the inner dynamics of your soul between the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, between the Nefesh Elokus, Nefesh Bahamas. The Nefesh Bahamas is never getting victory in action deed or thought, but it's influence. So it comes in the morning, your energy of your Nefesh Elikus is empowered through the davening,
right,
and your Mochid the Galus and your Omek with the Chabad, Chochim Bin Adas, into the Galus of Borei, with the Omek Adas, see where the Loshen uses. You have to be Medayak in the Loshen, very important, because we have to try to keep to the Tzaddik's words. Yeah, well, what's the word? Can you read it for me? Kan Mashashasa, the coach of the Kodam, Shaz Mekasha Chabad Shalom.
Whoa, how you doing? Chacham Bina Badas, how you doing?
Yeah.
Alright, Gamma Matashar Koshul Khaladim Masha Az Makasha Chachma Bina Badas.
Shalom.
La Hashem.
La Hashem, La Amik.
Daita Bigdulas Ain't Sir Baruch. I mean, this is like Episode Shtipal Hispodadut.
Yeah, Hispodadus. This is Hispodadus. No, Hispodadus. Hispodadus would be to speak it out. That's the Nafka mentioned Breslov and Chabad.
Right.
The Chabad is a Indian of the Mayach. It's an inner.
Right.
Musagim of Seiku, of deep Chochma Bina Das. We're going to learn more about this process of Chochma Bina Das. Loretz Ava, to waken up. I mean, this is just the beginning of explaining the Benini, so we're going to go really into this.
To orer,
to waken up the Ava, Kirish Be'esh, like a fiery flame in the right side of the heart. Shabalibo. This is really important lines. This is really
by arousing the flaming fire. Kirish Pe'esh.
In the right side of the heart.
Of love.
The Davgabo. This is what made one of the Chiyuvim of the Torah of Daraisa to be Davik to Hashem. It's actually a Chiyuv.
It's
Chiyuv Daraisa when it misses us. To Davik. Right. One of the ways we learn is through Davik to Tamar Chachomim.
You have to is Hashem Lekacha v'chol v'avacha.
Yeah, and we have a mitzvah, the Kiyum of the Torah, the mitzvah said, Bahavim, it's to love Hashem.
Yahavah Rabba.
Zer Inyan.
Attach himself to God through the fulfillment of the Torah.
Yes.
And its commandments out of love.
Yes.
Shazahu Inyan Hamavur Bikriya Shema Deraisa. There you go.
Yeah, Kriya Shema Deraisa. I have to Shema Lekech, like you just said. Vichaseya.
Over here, so it says a threefold process.
The broch is before and after.
The focused meditation on G-G.
Shehema Derabbanan.
Leading to emotional arousal and a renewed commitment to observe the commandments is indicated by the commandments of Rishmanu. The text is saying, blah, blah, blah. So he's saying, you have to first really get into a state of his boninut.
Yeah, back in Shachris. Yeah.
Right, where you're his boninut, and then you have that emotional arousal, right? That kirish pe'esh.
And we're going to learn there's different levels of emotion. There's ava. Ptanugim, Zava Rabba, Ava Azza, there's all these different types of love. There's Ava Abina. There's a Yira Abina, which is a more sacred dika Ava and Yira. And then there's the original emotional Ava of Ava and Yira. Yeah? There's intellectual Ava and Yira, there's emotional Ava and Yira. We're going to learn all this. This is going to be part of the journey in Tanya of the different.
Right.
And it's quite complex, it's quite deep, and we're going to have to hold cop. Right now, what's happening, Shachris, just by saying Krishma, you have the Mitzvah Daraisa Krishma, you are awakening, have Hashem Elokecha, and the Yichud of Hashem, Hashem is one, v'chulu, and you're b'chol levav, for both sides of the heart, you're serving Hashem. And then you come into the bracha before and after, that is the mitzvah of the Rabbanim, which he just said, Shehen Rabbanim he'achana l'kiyam krishma. They help us, the mitzvah before and the brachas before and after, help us mekayim this mitzvah of krishma, the rites of the full shlemus, through the brachas of Birkas Krishma. They are servicing the Birkas Krishma to prepare us to be able to do the Birkas Krishma and fulfill it fully. Because they remember, Yotzei Ma'ariv says, awakening our awe of Hashem, the Romimus Hashem, the Romimus Hakel, we're awakening up the awe, how awesome he is with all these angels, and he created this higher level world called the Olam Yetzirah. And then we go into Ava Rabba, which is starting to head towards Olam Bria, which is the idea of awakening the higher levels, intellectual levels of Ava and Yira in Torah, Yachid Levein, Ava Yira, Shemecha, Arneini, Besorah, Sech, all these beautiful tefillahs. And then when we're saying the Shema, we're awakened with that higher level Ava, with the Shema, and the Yichud that we're saying. So every morning we're going out from this Mokhin Dekatnus in the morning. We wake up in the morning more feeling the Nefesh Bahamas, because that's how you wake up. You're in a state of kilo, like in Mitzrayim, in a more Meitzarim of your guf, and then you awaken the Nefesh Elokus more and more throughout the Shacharis till you get to that level during Birkas Krishma and Krishma, where you are now in the state of Mochin Degadlis, if you daven properly. Right. And that's Kamash Kosach. Yeah, what's he say? Kamash Kosach for Midrashachia?
Chapter 46 and 49.
Oh, okay. So later on in the Tanya. V'az hara shebechala asmuli kafuf. This is the important part. To understanding the Beinoni, that the left side of the heart now is kafuf.
Kafuf, right.
It's subjugated. Subdued. You said a good word before last week of subdued.
Subdued.
Is that the word here?
Yeah, he wrote here suppressed.
Suppressed, okay.
Yeah.
Batul l'tovin. It's nullified. Is that the word he used? Nullified,
yeah,
to good.
Voided.
Say again?
Void.
Void?
Yeah, batul l'tov.
Void, okay. It's void to the good. Mispashet b'chala yamini, and it spreads out in the chala yamini,
which has spread to the right chamber.
Yeah, v'chabad, shebamarach, mekoshim b'ganes ein sof baruch hu. So because the right side is overflowing now with the Ganas Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the greatness of Hashem, in this Ir Katanas, so-called you, yeah, you're the Ir Katanas, the small city, is now overflowing on the right side of the Ganas Hashem.
This is a magical, like this, we should really copy and paste this and teach this to every child in yeshiva, and when they say Shema.
Yeah.
And when you say Shema, like you're mamish, you don't know what's going on, your brain is taking your... taking, connecting to the Chachma Bina Vedas, and it's blowing your Yetzer Hara, your Nefesh Bahamas, out of the water.
Yeah, it's subduing it.
It's vital for that temporary, it's a temporary space of just pure light.
I would go as far to say that you get to the level, if you do it fully in the highest level, of becoming a tzaddik.
But tzaddiki, I think that's where
it's headed. Why do you become a tzaddik? Because you now mi'ah the Ra so much,
yeah,
that it's no longer there anymore. Wow. Or it's Shadik Shein Ugomo, at least, yeah?
Yeah.
So there is a moment, but remember, this is all fluctuating. So really, it's still on the level of Beinoni, because it's still there. Because why? How do we know it's still there? That's going to be the next shtickle. What happens?
But he says here, a Hasidic thought. Let's have a Hasidic thought.
Go on, before we get to the butt.
My inner core is unrefined, leading me to have a mixture of urges towards personal gratification and towards God. But if I focus my mind on the Shema and on prayer at a time when the supernal mind is in a state of expansiveness, which is... like we were saying in the morning, or just in general, when we were harnessing the Chach Bina Vedas, I will experience a temporary flooding of emotions for God, then my urge for self-gratification will be temporarily silenced. A Hasidic thought brought to you by Rabbi Chaim Miller.
Very nice.
And Unity for Tanya.
Very nice. So the idea is that you...
And Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. He loves Eli Goldman.
Abdullah loves Abdullah.
He wishes he could learn the safe. He would learn the safe, it would blow his mind off.
I know.
But he's not yet a cleaver.
Maybe then he'd be pro-Israel.
I don't want it to be pro-Israel. I want it to be pro-truth, the soul. Because Israel's not perfect also. You think, you know, as much as I'm pro-Israel, my son's fine army, but I'm not pro the Medina.
Israel.
To do so much too.
Like when he was talking about the Israel, he was like, yeah, but the innocent people in Gaza, I don't be like...
Yeah, but you know what? It's a tyno on us because we don't do good PR and we haven't communicated properly to the world. And we have our own left-wing Jews or whatever they are, liberal Jews, who ruined... He would not be saying that if it wasn't for us. I'm telling you. There's a guy like Dave Smith. He's a Jew. He's very good friends with Joe Rogan. He'll go and speak against what we've done in the whole situation over there. And he's a Yid. Why is he speaking that way?
Right.
Why isn't he coming out with Jewish conclusions? Because he doesn't live a Jewish life.
Right.
Doesn't learn Tanya. He's not connected to those Nefesh HaLikis. So he might be a Yid physically.
His Nefesh Bahamas is totally...
And he's got an intelligent Yiddish kop.
Klipa, all that stuff. And his other friend, Ari Shafir.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was a Yeshiva guy.
Ari was a Yeshiva guy.
He's now done vasectomy. It means he can't have children. That's Nebuch.
No. Wow. So that's a Karis situation right there.
Could be.
I think that's Karis.
I'm not judging him, though. In the end, everyone's on their journey, and you know, Mr. Shem, all these people will do Tshuva Shlema.
Amazing.
We learned yesterday the idea that even by Rosh Hashanah and Gemurim, the Shekhinah is still Shura,
right,
and have a Makif, and there's always Lakudas Tovas. Hashem has a way of bringing these Neshamas to a good place somehow or another. So we're not here to judge anyone, but we never really know what's going on inside people. But the point is, as you can see, we don't really know. We don't really know inside a human being. We don't even
know
inside ourselves.
You never know.
But to get to clarity on ourselves is so hard. So then we should for sure know. That's why when my wife today, I told her, don't get involved with family stuff.
Right.
Because I always know deep down that you never really know. Maybe they're in a totally good place about this. It just manifests in a complicated way. And there's no point stirring up the bee's nest, if you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
And I always feel Darkei Shalom is always the right way to go. But it's hard because in the end, people need to communicate their feelings and they're not received properly.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's very difficult. Some people aren't in safe positions where they can communicate their feelings. And then it's very complicated. And that has nafkaminas also. But anyway, these are complicated. And we're back in the therapy room again. So
it's because
this is a big oba.
Sure, timing wise,
we'll just finish off another 5 minutes.
There.
Aber acher tefillah, this is the important part. We're now after tefillah. You and me are sitting here after tefillah learning Tanya. Because by the way, once you've gone out Mitzrayim, what's the point of going out Mitzrayim? What do we do in the Torah? What happened? What do we get?
To the Yamsuf.
Yamsuf. Mokin the Gadlis. That gave us money. What do we then get?
And we got the Luchot.
The Torah.
The Luchot.
So then that should be the Seder of a Yid's day. You go out Mitzrayim through tefillah, you come to a relationship with Hashem, like most Shvi Kriyas Yamsu, we even say that Az Yashar every morning, and we say Zeikim Sus Mitzrayim and Kriyas Shema.
Yeah.
At that point, we should be at a place where we're outside of Mitzrayim, we're now back in the Mokin de Gadlis. We're no longer Mokin de Gadlis, Mokin de Gadlis. And now, what you do with that Mokin de Gadlis, you learn Torah, which is what we're doing now. We're learning Torah. So, this is what you do after tefillah, you learn Torah. Achat tefillah, Mitzrayim, is a Mokin. Problem is, the after tefillah, you have a bit of food and you shmooze about whatever, the Mokin de Gadlis. Is it goes away? Depart. Ain't so poruchu. Hari hara chozev neir b'chala asmuli, and the evil returns and awakens in the left side of the heart. Yeah, and he wants the biscuits over here. B'tayve tayves la tayves olam hazeh le'sanugav, and he needs to have his physical needs met. Rapanishin ola levada mishpat v'meluka mishala be'ir ena yochel ha'hotzi tavasa mekarach alapo.
Only since his evil in the
land. Yeah, the soul, because the evil is not the sole authority and dominion of the city, is unable to carry its desires from the potential to actual. By clothing some with bodily limbs, indeed, speech, and permanent thought.
You know, it's like this. Like, I feel like the Tanya, when the Baal Tanya wrote this, it's almost like he has this little subtle, it's like a subliminal, subtle message that he's sending us, as if, like, you think you're the Rushas, like we all read it and we're like, oh, we're the Rushas, but really he's saying, you guys are not the Rushas, you're the Beninis. You just think you're the Rushas, you know? Well, it's like...
I'm trying to correct people's way of thinking.
What?
Because at that time, historically, people were thinking they're, like they had the Magidim coming, telling them the Roshoyim.
Right.
And giving them Musa. Like, and the whole ticking of the Hasidus was to undo that.
Like if
was
really,
to show that we're all Dabik to Hashem Be'etzin.
Like the Baal Tanya knew what people were up to back then and what people would be up to now. When we're learning it, right?
But he's giving us a daily mechanism to understand ourselves.
And what he's basically so practical saying is that...
Even though it's so high, it's so practical. Because it's so deep. It's really what's happening within.
Right.
You're having this moment of every davening. Even if you're not such a big Bamadragon, you're davening. It's happening anyway. You're saying the words. On the Panemius level, what's going on? This whole Yitzias Mitzrayim experience of getting the Torah and getting to Mokin de Gadlis. And you're in a more Neshama
also, like,
it's state.
Like, I think it's also like this Indian of like, if he called the Beinoni a Tzaddik...
Yeah.
Then we would just be like, okay, that's a tzaddik. Like, nowadays, what Reb Weinberger said also is that, like, we've really cheapened the word tzaddik.
Yeah, he's very.
But nice, like back then, I bet you the word tzaddik was like calling someone a billionaire. You know, it's like, oh, he's a billionaire. Like, he's not a billionaire.
Yeah,
like, most people have never met a real billionaire in their life. Yeah. They just think he's worth $1 billion because he flies in a private jet. Like a real, mamas, a real billionaire.
Not that many,
like,
as we think.
There's only a handful. They have a list of them. They can name each and every single one of them. And there's not really any.
They say in the Syrian community there's one or two.
Yeah, maybe there's a couple, but they're not. Some of them are just not even real billionaires. They just have assets that are worth over $1 billion.
Yeah.
But you then look at the debt that they owe. They owe 70% of it is bank loans. So your net worth. Right?
It's complicated.
Meaning, if I think of a billionaire as a guy, if he sold his whole entire Parnassa, would he have over $1 billion, right? And a guy like Elon Musk has that because he can just, like that, liquidate him. A lot of these religious Jews from Jews are like, they have.
How much did he buy Twitter for? 47 billion or something?
Right. Like a lot of these.
That was money he had access to.
Yeah. A lot of these from Jews like have billions of dollars of assets, but they also have billions of dollars of debt.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's not so.
That's why I always say to my wife, I said, she said, how do they do it with the nice cars and the nice this, nice that? And just to buy a nice car in Israel, it's secondhand, it's 100,000 shekels.
It's crazy, yeah.
I can't afford that. So how, she was asking me, how do they do it? How do they do it? She was asking me this question.
Right.
So I said, there's all kinds of money tricks, you know, with payments and all kinds of stuff, because they're not making that kind of income. So it's tricks.
I was talking to Rav Shimon about money. He was saying, it's interesting. He said, during Galus, Parnassa is supposed to pour all the way, 90% to Eretz Yisrael, and then pour over to the Galus.
Sure.
But he said, Galus, the curse of Galus is that it pours first to to Chutz Arts, and then pours.
Really?
Oh,
we should take this one.
Is this the one that you use more often?
But I use both.
Yisrael will have no fear. Mashiach will be here this year. I'm Yisrael. Have no fear. Mashiach will be here this year. We want Mashiach now.
We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait.
Oh, should we wrap it up now?
Yeah, let's just finish off. So he says the idea that therefore it's possible for the wicked fool to rise, opening the left part of his heart, creating a lust for material. So it awakens. Yeah, it awakens that part of the soul.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't. Mamish la'amik mashavta b'tanug ala mazeh eik la'malas tavi libo b'merach sholit ala le'. That it doesn't do. It doesn't take over.
Right.
Yeah. The conscious attention and enjoyment of the mundane pleasures outside the last of the heart because his brain moves over the heart. At the end of the day, moach sholit ala le'. That's the last thing we should say. The brain rules over. So the brain won't allow in a world of Benini for the to ever take over.
The brain runs over my heart.
Yeah. And that's a Chabad concept because Chochmah being a das is the focus, the Chabad, the Mochin, are sholit on this person, and therefore the Benini will, even if he has that fluctuation from the Nefesh Elikus and more a bit more of an experience of the Nefesh Bahamas, but the Nefesh Bahamas is never sholit. The Bahamas always sholit.
Nothing happened, but
amazing. I don't know who you are.
I don't know anything.
What's your name?